A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Chof Ches Amud Beis, 128b, pagination 256, at the Mishnah, fourth line of the page. The Mishnah tells us, Kofin is asal lifnei ha'efrochim. You're allowed to put a basket upside down in front of the young birds, kidei sheyalu v'yerdu, to enable them to climb up. They could fly a little bit, I guess, and they kind of can fly up to the basket, and then that'll be the interim stage to get them into their coop or wherever they're trying to go. You're allowed to put the basket upside down, and we're being told that even though you wouldn't be allowed to handle these birds on Shabbos, you can't just lift the birds up into the coop and help them because they're muktzah, but you're allowed to move a non-muktzah item in order to help the muktzah item. So that they can go up and go down. Drop down to the Gemara, which is about five lines later. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, let's consider a similar case where an animal needs our help. Behema shenafla la'amas hamayim. An animal fell in to a stream of water and apparently can't get himself out. Perhaps the bottom is muddy. No. What's that?
I was saying the current, but yeah.
Okay. Mevi karim vikistos. You could bring different pillows, non-mukta items. Umeinech tachter, and you could put them underneath the animal so that it could lift itself up, get traction, climb out of the pit. Whatever it is, you're moving a non-mukta item for the benefit of something that's mukta that you wouldn't be allowed to handle on Shabbos. Vimalsa also, and if you could get it up like that, that's good. The Gemara also considers a different solution that you feed it where it is. You mentioned the concept of a current. I don't know if that would be the case, because in the case of a current, I'm just being a little challenging here, there's really no time to lose. If the animal is going to be taken down, it's going to be taken down. The case here really seems to be a choice that you could feed it where it is, or you could try to get it out. And if the way you're getting it out is this dainty way, you're not pulling it out with a winch. You're a dainty way. You just kind of throw pillows at it and it gets its traction and you position them. Fine, that's enough. We'll see. That's the theme of the Gemara here, that if with mild interference you could solve the problem, that's legitimate.
The same case would be an animal stuck on the tree probably, right?
An animal stuck
in the tree.
What would you like to do for it?
Get it down.
To actually lift it out, we don't have a source yet. I don't know what the solution might be, but to actually lift it out with your hands, right? We might have a source. We'll try to get to it in a moment. But so far, you're doing very dainty types of interference. In the first case, you flipped the basket upside down so that the birds can make it into their coop. Over here, you're throwing pillows underneath so that the animal can gain traction or height and get itself out. Okay. Ask the Gemara. First wide line in the middle of the line. V'akamevato kali meheichano. You are nullifying a vessel from its permitted state, which we learned a while back is the equivalent of some level of soser or binyan, that you're almost cementing it in place halachically, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're taking an item that until now could be moved, and you're locking it into place. It's like building. It's like dismantling it from its use. Now, the Gemara did not ask this on the case of the birds. Even though you put a basket upside down and the bird is going to be on the basket momentarily, it didn't ask, well, you're not allowed to do that. Why is the Mishnah allowing you to do that? You're nullifying the basket from its use. And the Mishnah Berurah explains the reason, because birds could easily be flicked off. And in a moment, you can get the bird off. And therefore, the basket never becomes muktzah. It's not considered cemented in its place. You flick with your hand, and the bird will make with its wings, and it'll be off. But over here, the animal is climbing on these pillows. These pillows, for a period of time, are cemented in place halachically. You can't interfere with them because of the animal sitting upon them. And the Gemara answers an answer which gives us a window into what you were asking before. It gives us a whole new perspective. Sova mevata kli mehichano derabbanon, second wide line. We're holding that cementing halachically this thing in place is only rabbinic. You're not really cementing it. There's no cement. It's not one of the 39 categories. It's a rabbinic thing. You're not allowed to do it. And tzar ba'alei chayim de'oraisa. On the other hand of the ethical scale is pain to an animal, even though you're not personally inflicting it, but it's happening in front of you. And that's biblical. V'osi de'oraisa v'dochi de'rabbanon. The biblical issue is able to push away the rabbinic issue, and the pain that the animal is enduring warrants action, even if it violates, to a degree, a rabbinic precept. Now, I don't know if all rabbinic precepts are made equal, but this thing of putting the muktzah, of making the thing muktzah by putting it underneath it, it's going to be bumped out. What's the principle, if you say it's biblical, how do we know Tzar Ba'alei Chayim? So Rashi tells us because when an animal is sitting with its load and the animal is stuck in pain because the load shifted, it's not balanced properly, Rovitz Tachas Maso, it's weighted down by the load and it can't get it, the load off itself. So there's a mitzvah Azov Tazov, you have to take the load off, and we're learning that it's not just to help the owner, it's to help the animal. Azov tazov imo is to help the animal, and we learn from there, tzar ba'alei chayim. So if tzar ba'alei chayim is biblical, again, even though you're standing idly by, I'm not the one who put the load on. I didn't put the unfair weight, but I'm here now. If you can help the animal, you have to. And that's going to bump out this derabbanan that we were concerned with, that the vessel is being nullified from its use. Drop down a few lines to the new Mishnah, and the Mishnah gives us another example of involvement with animals on Shabbos to help them, but there's like a hesitant nature here. We don't want to get too involved because it's tircha, it's undue labor, effort, exertion, but we're going to help in a more delicate, like a quick help, in order to help the animal. The Mishnah says, "Eimi yaldimus habehema b'yamtif." You can't help the animal give birth on yamtif. The assumption is that the animal can give birth on its own, and getting too involved is not a Shabbos endeavor. Avol misa'adin, but you could help, like gingerly. There's certain types of help that you're allowed to do. Take a look at the Gemara, which starts two lines later. Ketzad Mesa'adin, how do you help? What's legitimate? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ochiz esavalad shelo yipol. You're allowed to hold the animal so that it doesn't fall la'aretz. Apparently during birthing, there's something you could do for the animal. It's not so simple. So even though we know sometimes the animal is almost standing when it gives birth. You could also have an issue that the mother could accidentally kick the child as it comes out. So there's something to be done. You're allowed to grab the animal as it comes out so that it shouldn't fall. Rav Nachman Amadochik Bevasa Kadesh Yetzei Avalad, you can push this flesh to the side so that the child can come out. This is not true birthing where you actually like forceps it, where you put your hand in and you pull the child out. That's apparently too much tircha. But you push the flesh to the side so that the child, that maneuvering, that's gingerly enough and that's acceptable on Shabbos. Tanya kavasi de Rav Yehuda, ketzem esadin, how do you do it? Ochzin esavalat shel yilpil la'aretz, you grab the child so that it doesn't fall. You're allowed to blow into its nostrils if the nostrils are filled with fluid. Venosin lo dad lesoch piv kadesh yinak, and you could put the nursing spot into the child's mouth in order that it should start it on nursing. Amrav Shimon Gamliel, merachamim hayinu al behema tohora b'yamtif. There were cases that we caused the mother to have mercy on its child, and it was yamtif. There was something we were able to do, even though it was yamtif. Hey Chiyavid, what's he talking about? Amar Abaye, Abaye explained, maybe bulshal melech omneach lalubsoch harechem. They put some sort of salt into the womb of the mother, kedei shetizkar tsa'ara, so that it should remember its pain of birthing, remember that it had a child. I guess the animal sometimes, you know, like, forgets that it had a child. V'terachim alav, and it should have mercy on the child. What we find in the animal kingdom is that sometimes the mother will reject the child, like forget that it's its child. And the child without a mother in many, many species is totally vulnerable. If the child doesn't know who its mother is and purposely tags along to that mother, in many species it's a goner, because only its mother will take care. And if the mother doesn't take care of it, it cannot survive. So they had this method. Now it's interesting, most of our knowledge is in the wild. Over here it's just to care for the child, to nurse the child, to urge the child to do what it's supposed to and teach it. So they put something into the womb which reminded the mother of the pain of birth and reminded it that it gave birth and that it has a child. I guess it's almost like reliving the birthing experience, and then the habits, the underlying tendency kicks in, and it looks for its child again. Another method that they did was you're allowed to put the water of the birthing process on the child so that the mother should smell its own scent on the child and should have mercy. In other words, it's a way of affirming this is your child. And again, sometimes in the animal kingdom, there's rejection. You are my child, you're not my child. Again, what are we getting out of this? There is a delicate balance how much you're allowed to interfere on Shabbos regarding an animal, and Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, to try to interfere if it's a more gentle approach. If it's just something, I just need to do this and then it'll help, you're allowed to do it. More than that, there are restrictions. Yeshua Kach, have a great day.